Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends, think about your life. Are you blessed right now? I think we all should say yes, because we all have our basic needs: food, clothing, and shelter. We have God's gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and we have God's promise that we're going to be in a wonderful, wonderful situation for all eternity. Those are huge blessings. So God wants us to know about them. He wants us to rejoice in them, and may the joy of them even carry us through this sometimes very difficult life. Today we are going to focus on Revelation 22, not on quite all of it. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6 and then jump ahead to the very end of the Bible with verses 12 through 20. But we're going to see a number of things that should give us joy that are coming in the future, and also tell us some things about how we should function even now in this world as Christians in connection with God's holy word. First of all, we do a little picturing of eternity with God as we begin. These are some of our many blessings in this section. Going to verse 1 of Revelation 22, the Bible says, "And the angel showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." Let us understand from that verse that God is our source of life now. God is our source of life forever. Verse 2, "In the middle of the street of the city and of the river, a tree of life, producing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations." So once Adam and Eve fell into sin, God had to get them away from the tree of life. Why did God do that? Was God trying to hurt them in some way? By no means. If they would have fallen into sin and then eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever with all of that corruption of sin. God doesn't want that for us. That is why this life is a temporary life. The only way to get out of this world is through death, but when we die in Christ, that is a wonderful thing. God wants us to see it that way. However, though, once Christ comes, and once everything is made brand new, then again, we will have access to the tree of life, be able to eat from that tree, and we will live forever in absolute perfection, and it will be amazing. It will be wonderful. We have so much to look forward to. And then in verse 3, "No curse will be any longer, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his slaves will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." Let's understand, or at least try to understand, how amazing the world was before the fall into sin. And once sin came, that brought a curse upon all the people. All of creation was pulled down. And yet, through Jesus Christ, he became a curse for us in order to remove the curse from us. And then in eternity, that's going to be all gone, and it's going to be super wonderful forever and ever. God wants us to know that is coming. And then in verse 5, "And night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So God's amazing glory, it will never fade away. Think about when Moses was with God face to face. He had the glory on his face, but then it faded away. God's glory, it does not fade. We're going to be in the glory of God forever and ever. Never fading, super wonderful, that is coming too. Then verse 6 says, "And the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. In other words, if you think they're like too fantastic to even believe, don't think that way. No, they are trustworthy and true. No matter how fantastic they might seem, God will bring them to pass. Then it goes on in verse 6, "And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his slaves what must soon take place." I'm afraid that many people in the world are unaware of God's truth. I think they are unaware of the coming final judgment. But let us be thankful that God has made it known to us. He has done so by his Spirit, through his Word, so that awareness is a good thing for us. Let us rejoice in that. Let us also take the opportunities God gives us in order that we might make them aware too, that this is a temporary world, that it is coming to an end because of sin, and there is one way to escape the horrible thing that's coming, and that is through Jesus Christ. And then going on to the return of Jesus, picking up in verse 12, Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to pay each one for what he has done." It's a little bit difficult to understand that, but because of the way he said it there and talking about each one, it seems he's talking about more than just the believers. He's also talking about the ones who ultimately end up not believing. So it seems that he's saying that he's bringing punishment for the unrepentant. He doesn't want to do that, but that's going to happen because they kept rejecting and rejecting and rejecting Jesus Christ all the way to the end. But the good news is he's going to bring blessing for the repentant. But we can't think about it like this and say, "Hey, I'm repentant, so I earn God's blessings." By no means. Any blessings that come to us, those are gifts that God is giving us, and they have nothing to do with our goodness. They have everything to do with God's goodness to us. And then in verse 13, Jesus said of himself, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." So somebody might say, "Can that Jesus really come back? And can he really bring punishments for the unrepentant and great blessings for the repentant?" Well, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, we should know he has the ability to do what he has said. He has the ability to bring great punishments and also great rewards. As I think about the world today, I'm afraid that many people have little interest in learning the Bible, in being sorry for their sins, or even in really knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. He will come soon, and he's going to bring just punishments, punishments that are deserved. He's also going to bring undeserved rewards. May God so keep us in Christ that we are always on the side of those undeserved rewards. And may God use us that we might communicate that good news to others and that they might receive it too. We live in a world today where more and more people would say, "Oh, I don't gather for church, but I still love Jesus and I'm still a Christian and I'm still going to heaven." But can that be true though? Can that be true? Think about the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Think about Luther's explanation. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. I praise God for all who are gladly hearing it, gladly learning it, but for others who are not, I mean, they should not be deceived. I'm afraid that in many cases they are. I say that not to disappoint any of us, but maybe I say that in order to encourage God to kick each one of us in the butt in order to get going and to share this good news with others, to share the bad news. Christ is coming, and he's coming with just punishments, but also to share that good news, that there's a way of escape, and that way has been made in Jesus Christ. Think about there with the Passover event. God said, all the firstborn males in Egypt are going to die. Only one way to escape it. You have to take the lamb, a proper lamb, kill it at the proper time, kill it in the proper way, put the blood on your door frame, and only in that case will I pass over. In all other cases, the firstborn males are going to die. Well, Jesus is that one way to heaven. The Bible is clear that he is that one and only way. May God help us to grow up in him, continue in him, and may God use us to help others know that precious truth. And then we come to this topic I'm calling location, location, location. So where we spend eternity is so very important. Where we live here on planet Earth really isn't that important. Notice what it says here, picking up in verse 14. Blessed are those washing their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone loving and making a lie. Aren't you so glad that you're not like that second group? We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. But think about the beginning there, though. Blessed are those washing their robes. That's a present participle. It's an ongoing reality. It's not that, oh, yeah, I was baptized years ago. I'm all washed up. I'm set for life. Or, oh, yeah, at one time I believed in Jesus. That means I'm all set for life. Just because another pastor is saying it, don't believe it. Just because I'm saying it, don't believe it. Just because it's Missouri Synod, don't believe it. We have a lot of mixed up stuff out there, whether it's in our church body or in all these other church bodies, and that's why it's so vital for all of us to be in the Word. Some people are telling things that are not true, and they don't necessarily mean to do it. They're well-intentioned people, but they're not sticking with the Word of God. It's a very sad thing. So I just want to challenge you to know what the Word of God says and don't take anybody else's word for it. Know it yourself. So think about these steps in order to wash our robes and eat from the tree of life. Well, first of all, the washing takes place in connection with Jesus Christ, and then through him, we're able to enter the city. And then, because of him, we're able to eat from the tree of life. These are wonderful things that are coming. But let us know, though, that even though we're gathered here today, we have on nice, clean clothes, what is the reality of the matter? Our robes are filthy with sin, and there is only one cleaning product that will wash our robes, and that is the Holy Spirit. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. So knowing Jesus, we are promised the wonderful location. Everyone else who does not know Jesus, they are guaranteed the horrible location. The Bible is so clear on these things. But let's not miss this very important point, though. We all deserve the horrible location. Let me say that again. We all deserve the horrible location. We have all fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That we live a sinless, holy, perfect life. We've all fallen short. So when we think about having the wonderful location is all wrapped up in God's gift to us through Jesus. Jesus Christ makes all the difference. Let's go on to the topic of hearing and sharing the good news then, as we pick up with verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. So the angel is testifying to John, and he's testifying about the contents of the book of Revelation, and he's doing it for the churches. So how does the book of Revelation begin? We have the seven letters to the seven churches. So he is talking about those seven churches, but I think we could say he's talking about all Christian churches in the entire world. And then he says, I am the root and the descendant of David. How can you be a root and a descendant? Well, according to the Son of God, he is the root or the source of David. And then according to Jesus Christ, he is a descendant of David, coming in the line of David about 1,000 years later. Our Savior is an awesome, awesome God. And then he is also the bright morning star. Here's a quote here from Dr. Becker. He wrote regarding the morning star, "As the morning star in the east is the clear proclamation of the coming of a new day, so the coming of Jesus into the world brings the sure promise of the great new eternal day." So we can compare a single day with the eternal day that is coming, and that day will begin when Jesus comes again. Then in verse 17 it says, "The Holy Spirit and the bride," that would be the saved ones, the repentant ones, "the Holy Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" In other words, those who know Christ, they're saying, "Yes, come, Jesus, come and get us. Take us back to the Father's house." And then it says, "And let the one hearing say, 'Come.'" So as we reach out to others with the good news of the Word of God, the ones hearing, we want them to realize, oh, they're in their sins. Oh, I can't go to heaven with my sin. Oh, I need Jesus Christ. And we want them to hear, and by the grace of God, to believe in Jesus. And then they're going to say, "Come," right along with us. And then it goes on to say, "And let the one thirsting come." In other words, the one who knows he's a sinner, who knows he's in trouble, who knows he can't save himself, so he is thirsting for the things of God, and he's saying, "Come too," because he's ready because of the thirsting. And then finally it says, "Let the one desiring take the water of life without price." Such a wonderful thing that God is the one who works the desire within us, so we know what we need, and then God is so good, God says, "Here, it's free. You can have it for nothing because of the work of my Son." Did you notice that we have three present participles there? Hearing, thirsting, desiring. Those are ongoing realities. We understand how physical life works, that people who are physically alive and healthy, they're eating and eating and eating. When they stop eating, we know they are either near death or they are dead. When it comes to spiritual life, people are eating and eating and eating the Word of God. And when they stop eating the Word of God, they are either near spiritual death or they have already died. It's a very simple concept. It's a perfect parallel. God wants us to see that reality. May the Spirit of God continue to work through the Word day by day in our lives so that we continue hearing, thirsting, desiring God's eternal blessings. And then let us be confident that as we desire them, let us be confident that God in His goodness, He will continue to supply them. Finally, let's go on to this final part then of the book of Revelation, this idea of embracing all of God's word. In verse 18, Jesus said, "I warn everyone hearing the words of the prophecy of this book." Now, when he says that, he's talking about the book of Revelation. He's not talking about the entire Bible. When he says this book, really he's saying this scroll, this particular part of the Bible. "If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." So think about how we tend to all be as people. As people, we're always going through a process of either rejecting or accepting. So we hear something, we read something, and we might say, "That can't be true. I reject that." Or we hear or read something else and say, "Oh, I like that. That makes sense to me. I accept that to be true. We tend to make these kinds of decisions all the time. In a sense, we are programmed to function that way in life. Here's the danger. We are tempted to use that same kind of reasoning when it comes to the Bible. We are tempted to read something and say, oh, that can't be true. No way do I believe that. Or we read something else that's like, oh yeah, I like that one. That's got to be true. I fully accept that. We tend to be that way. But that is such a wrong thing to do. Based on what Jesus just said, we can go through life like that with all kinds of things, but we should never, ever, ever do that with Holy Scripture. Let's understand that virtually every church and church body in the entire world is doing just that. There are many, many, many who reject the account of creation, even though God has told us what he did. There are many of a growing number who are rejecting the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Many others reject the fact that he is God in human flesh. So many things, fundamental things, are rejected. They reject the power of baptism. They reject the real presence in the supper. They reject the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of things out there are rejected to be not true. Let us know that all of the Bible is the Word of God. All of it is intended for our good, for our benefit, now and forever. Finally, the last verse. Keep in mind, John is writing, he, in other words, Jesus who testifies, says these things. So Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And then John replies to him and says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. So soon to Jesus is different than soon to us. Let's keep that in mind. But now that we live in the 21st century, and now that we see how even most Christian churches have gone down the toilet, and how we see that the world is falling apart in so many ways, and how we see that people are even rejecting the fact that God himself is a creator, or that somehow it's okay to have two men and two women together, and this is being embraced all over the world, we should know that we are probably in the last of the last times. So this is not a time to kick back and relax. This is not a time to say, oh, I'll tell my family some other time. We have plenty of time. I'll wait for the right opportunity. God wants us to have an urgency about this. I mean, we don't know how much time is left. It could be a very short amount of time. We should take advantage before it's too late. Does that mean we can convert our families, our friends, our neighbors? No, we can't. That's the work of God. But how has God chosen to work? He's chosen to work by his Spirit through his Word. So we should share that Word. We have sermon copies to share every week. We have brochures to share. You can link people to our Facebook page or our website or our podcast. There's all kinds of ways to get the Word of God out there. So are we willing to do that, or are we kind of ashamed of the whole thing? Think about the words there in Mark 8. Jesus said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So we should expect persecution when we stand up for Christ, but that's how God wants to use us, so to shine the light of Christ to others. And yes, some negative things will come our way, but when the negative things come our way, that's going to draw us even closer to Jesus. That's going to draw us more into the Word. That's going to grow us up in Jesus Christ. It's going to be a win-win, and possibly God might even use what we say and what we do to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Please join me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, you know how hard the forces of evil are trying to pull us away from Jesus. So we pray that you would powerfully work by your Spirit through your Word to keep us in your holy family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening.
If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.